Welcome into the newest episode of the Oncology Peer Review on the Go podcast. I'm your host, Matthew Fowler, and today is Monday, February 14th. This week, I spoke with Dr. Emily Smith of the Ellis Fischel Cancer Center, University of Missouri, about a patient case her and colleagues published in the December issue of the journal Oncology titled Metastatic Basal Cell Carcinoma Arising from a Primary Cutaneous Carcinosarcoma. Smith and her colleagues provided details regarding a 56-year-old man who the team of professionals diagnosed with metastatic basal cell carcinoma arising from a carcinosarcoma. In our conversation, Smith talked about what makes this patient case unique, the timeline of the specific patient's disease and treatment, the rarity of basal cell carcinoma arising from a carcinosarcoma, and plenty more. Take a listen to this conversation where Dr. Smith really breaks down a unique patient case. So, Dr. Smith, thank you so much for taking some time to speak with me about your work in the journal Oncology. Let's just start with the motivation for this piece. I thought it was really fascinating to kind of read through. So could you talk about what motivated you and your colleagues to really look at this patient case here?
Yeah, so this was actually, kind of an inspirational case for myself and my colleagues for many reasons. Most importantly, the multidisciplinary care and clinicopathologic correlation that had to take place to put the pieces together and get the patient on the right treatment was really gratifying at the end of the day. The fact that it is such a rare occurrence was also, academically fascinating to us and prompted us to put this in the literature. But really, it was the team-oriented approach. I mean, we had surgical pathology, dermatopathology, cutaneous oncology, medical oncology, radiology, you name it, really putting our heads together to sort this out for the patient.
And before we get into the specifics of the patient case, I really wanted to take a look at, could you talk about what carcinosarcoma is, its relationship with BCC, and kind of just some background on the disease there?
Absolutely. So a carcinosarcoma by definition is a hybrid neoplasm that has both mesenchymal and epithelial components. In the skin, this is a pretty uncommon occurrence. We usually will see either a pure carcinoma or a pure sarcoma. What was interesting in this patient's case was whether or not his lesion, began as a carcinoma, developed sarcomatous transformation, or if it was sort of a hybrid tumor all along. And I think the jury is still sort of out on that, and that may be unknowable. But it's a really, really uncommon occurrence in the skin. And a very limited number of epithelial neoplasms that are known to give rise to a sarcomatous or exist with a sarcomatous variant. So this is a malignancy that can be seen, of course, in any organ system. Again, so long as it meets those criteria of having an epithelial and a mesenchymal component. What becomes tricky is, how do you treat it? Do you treat it as a sarcoma? Do you treat it as a carcinoma? And so that was where we found, again, great academic interest, but also great, clinical pleasure being able to sort it out for this patient and treat him accordingly.
Right. And so let's just get right into that specific case. Could you just describe the critical details of this case that you and your colleagues looked at?
Yeah, so the patient had originally presented to our clinics 5 or so years ago for what was ultimately diagnosed as a carcinosarcoma of the vertex scalp. At that time, he also had 2 additional lesions biopsied adjacent to the main lesion, which were clinically and histopathologically compatible with basal cell carcinoma, very common. And so all 3 lesions were treated with Mohs surgery. The carcinosarcoma was cleared with surgery. However, given the presence of the sarcomatous component and concern for recurrence, the patient was offered adjuvant radiation, but he declined and he was lost to follow-up. And so about a little over a year ago now, he re-presented to our clinics, unfortunately, with shortness of breath, and had imaging that showed pulmonary mass, some lytic bone lesions, and he underwent biopsy of his pulmonary mass, which was interpreted as a metastatic carcinosarcoma, kind of working with what what was in the literature, or what was in the patient's history, I should say.
Right.
I was approached as the cutaneous oncologist, I was approached by the medical oncologist to say, what do I do with this carcinosarcoma? And so we opted to bring the patient into clinic, do a good full exam. And the patient actually also at the time had a very large right supraauricular soft tissue mass that was sort of in the area where he'd had his previous carcinosarcoma and his two basal cell carcinomas. When we biopsied the supraauricular mass, it was actually morphologically entirely compatible with basal cell carcinoma. And so that led us to wonder which of these components of the tumor was metastasizing. So, you know, our hypothesis was that it was the basal cell carcinoma that was the metastatic piece that had arisen from the primary carcinosarcoma. We then presumed that his previously diagnosed basal cell carcinomas were probably in transit metastases, including the recently biopsied lesion above his right ear. And in fact, when we went back and took a good look at the pathology from his lung biopsy, it was very basaloid, and it actually had staining for BER-EP4, which is an immunohistochemical marker that's positive in basal cell carcinoma. Hence the final summation that he had metastatic basal cell carcinoma arising from his carcinosarcoma.
And so there was a lot there, and there's a lot to kind of take in with this patient case. So I guess to kind of, you know, put it simply, what about this case, you know, was unique? What really kind of caught your attention, your colleagues' attention, to think that, you know, maybe this is something we should contribute to the journal?
I think the fact that the basal cell carcinoma was the component of the primary tumor that metastasized was what was really fascinating. We know basal cell carcinoma classically is an indolent tumor confined to the skin. It can be locally aggressive in some cases, but very rarely metastasizes. It does, but it's very, very uncommon. Much more commonly, we would see a sarcoma metastasize from the skin as this was doing. So what was very interesting was that it was that the basaloid component, the basal cell carcinoma component of this tumor that was metastasizing. What was even more fascinating was we were able to perform next generation sequencing on the patient's tumors, and it revealed a patch mutation, which is a very specific mutation seen in basal cell carcinoma. That mutation solidified our decision to actually treat him with targeted therapy with a smoothened inhibitor, which works along that pathway. So it was that really, you know, wonderful clinical pathologic correlation with some molecular data that really helped us seal the deal on the treatment for this patient.
And that's perfect, because I do want to look at the treatment options. You know, first, what exactly the treatment option was that you used. And in your write-up in the journal, you talk a little bit about how there's little evidence, or you and your colleague, excuse me, talk a little bit how there's little evidence for effective treatment modalities for this rare malignancy. Could you kind of talk through some of the options that exist and the thought process with you and your colleagues to determine what exactly to treat this patient with?
Yeah, so this was a real point of discussion for us initially, especially with a biopsy showing what was presumed to be just a hybrid carcinosarcoma. There was a lot of talk about treating the patient with a sarcoma regimen. And so what we ended up deciding based on our histopathologic analysis and molecular analysis was that we could treat this patient with targeted therapy for basal cell carcinoma. Basal cell carcinoma, when metastatic, has very few treatment options. The classic or the most trusted regimen, or the regimen that we have used historically, are again these targeted smoothened inhibitors, vismodegib and sunitegib. And that's all we've had for quite some time. Very recently though, a PD-1 inhibitor, cemiplimab, has been approved for treatment of basal cell carcinoma that is locally advanced or metastatic, but not responding to these targeted agents. And so we have two good treatment options now, whereas we've previously only had one. His tumor was very responsive to treatment with vismodegib, which was really remarkable to see.
And so with this case in general, and with the write-up, You know, what would you hope another oncologist or a care provider looking at basal cell carcinoma can take away from this research and this patient case to hopefully, you know, help inform them moving forward in treatment?
I think that first and foremost, a really extensive, thorough review of the historical pathology in concert with the present pathology is really, really important to sort of solidify a diagnosis. Molecular data can be very helpful. Again, if there is any question around a histopathologic or immunophenotypic diagnosis. As far as, you know, management for metastatic basal cell carcinoma, you know, knowing that we have our smoothened inhibitors is great, but don't forget about cemiplimab now or PD-1 inhibitors that we know can be somewhat effective for these patients. And so it's good to know that there is a little bit of a treatment ladder for these patients now.
Absolutely. And so to sum things up, is there anything that I haven't asked you about this case or basal cell carcinoma in general that you think is important to emphasize here?
No, I just think awareness of the entity, knowing that it is incredibly uncommon, carcinosarcoma is uncommon, metastatic basal cell carcinoma is uncommon, certainly having a metastasis of a basal cell carcinoma arising from a carcinosarcoma is even less common. But this is where, you know, really putting everyone's heads together can make a big difference for a patient.
That's all I had for you, Dr. Smith. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Matthew.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Oncology Peer Review on the Go podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere podcasts are available, or listen online at cancernetwork.com/resources/podcasts. The Oncology Peer Review on the Go podcast is the official podcast of Cancer Network, the home of the journal Oncology. For more information and to stay up to date with all the news in the world of oncology, visit us at cancernetwork.com and find us on Twitter at Cancer Network without the O, or on Facebook and LinkedIn at Cancer Network. Thanks so much for stopping by, and we'll see you again next time.